Let's now take our Bibles. We will focus on Psalm 145, usually in the afternoon here in the church. They have a confessional teaching in the afternoon following the Heidelberg Catechism. Also, the local pastor is going through the Belgian Confession. I'm here just filling out while he is on holidays. And in the afternoon, so far we have given some attention to the Psalms. The Psalms also have a lot of instruction and teachings. And one of a great, beautiful Psalm is 145. What I do before I read the Psalm, I'd like to give a little bit of the structure, the pattern of Psalm 145, and also the character. And I like to compare it with a waterfall. So it is kind of an introduction to the reading and to the sermon what I give you now. Psalm 145, you will see if you follow also the psalm a little bit. Psalm 145 is a praise to God. It is indeed like a very impressive waterfall. And one can think of any waterfall, of course, anywhere in the world. But a well-known waterfall here in Canada is, of course, the Niagara Falls in Ontario. And there, from a very level plateau, tons of water all of a sudden fall down, more than 50 meters. Tons of water. Visitors constantly, when you are there, you can hear the loud sound of falling water. Now, that gushing down of the water forms also a mist. And when the sun shines on that mist, what do you see? You see the rainbow. And in that rainbow, you see then God's greatness and grace and goodness. Exactly what we also find in Psalm 145. But when I read or sing Psalm 145, I am reminded of another huge waterfall. While living in the beautiful island Tasmania in Australia, once our family visited a national park. And that park is in a mountainous area surrounded by a rainforest. And snow covers most of the year the mountain peak in that park. Now, in the middle of that park is an amazing waterfall. Not as good as Niagara Falls. Tasmania is beautiful, part of paradise there. There in Tasmania, surrounded by tall trees on its sides, then a great volume of water cascades more than 50 meters into a deep gorge. And from there, it flows to the Southern Ocean. However, the waterfall of these Russell Falls doesn't drop in one fall, but it flows on several stages. From the peak, the high peak of the mountain, a mass of water falls from one plateau, from one stage to another plateau, to the next. And the effect is a natural curtain of water in lush forest scenery. It is inexpressibly awesome that water cascades down, plunging on to those different stages and flowing over the edge to another plateau. Well, beloved, the same happened, so to speak, in Psalm 145. The waterfall of God's praise cascades, as it were, down different plateaus. Just look, verse 1. It starts with a high peak. It has God's glorious kingship over all things. And then it flows on to the first plateau, the praise of God's greatness. The praise and the greatness, a greatness that no one can fathom. Then next, verse 4, the water flows on to the praise of all generations with its natural flow of the education, passing on praise to the generations. Further down, verse 5, it gushes to meditation of God's great works. And in verse 6, meditation cascades then to the next level. All men, we read, all men will witness and declare God's greatness. Praise of God brings about thanksgiving and celebration in verse 7. All this flows into an ongoing confession of who God is. How God has revealed himself. He is gracious and compassionate. An important reason for giving thanks to God, to worship him. He is also the Almighty God, who governs all things for the coming of his kingdom. The verses 11, 13. In all of this, God shows his covenant faithfulness to all the works of his hand. He's doing that especially through his providence. All things are upheld by his hand. Verses 14, 16. And finally, the Lord is not only merciful, he is also just. He is righteous in all his ways. He watches over all who love him. But the wicked, it says, the wicked, he will destroy. The end of the psalm. So, well, and now we have given a little bit of a sketch of Psalm 145. Let us now read that psalm as a whole and listen to God's word. It is a psalm, a praise of David, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears the cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, beloved, the theme of the sermon this afternoon is, as you also find in your liturgy sheet, God's overflowing love and care, they make God's people give him cascading praise. 3 points, the beginning of this praise. Secondly, the ongoing flow of this praise. And in the third place, the crescendo of this cascading praise. So God's overflowing love and care make God's people give him cascading praise. The beginning of it, the ongoing flow of it, and a crescendo of this cascading praise. Beloved, the major point of Psalm 145 is, as you already have heard a few times, praise to God. That praise to God as an overflowing fountain of his love and care. Because of his greatness, his grace and goodness, you will hear that more often this afternoon now, God's greatness, his grace and his goodness. Because of that, his people cannot stop praising him. They acclaim him for his great and majestic deeds and for who he is. So in several rounds of words with a similar meaning, Psalm 145 brings glory to God in heaven and of earth. The words, so to speak, they tumble one over another. So it cascades with thanksgiving to God Almighty. David's praise shows that for him God is not just a nice thought or an idea, but the Bible is not just a nice story, but God is a kind of a dream. No, God neither is a feeling or emotion. God reveals himself as a person. God speaks to us. God loves us. God cares for us, for young and old. He daily comes to our aid. God gives us life, and we trust him. We trust him that he will make all things well with us. He makes our lives perfect and glorious. Our congregation, in our day, today's troubles and tension, threats and dangers, we have plenty of them today in this time of conflicts. In such a time, people expect a lot from political rulers. People like the Prime Minister of Canada or the President of the United States, the leaders of the European Union. Those people, those rules are looked at to solve the problems of today. And people expect that they should make life safe, pleasant, and prosperous. Well, the Bible says that our God is as real as such politicians. In fact, of course, God as the Almighty is much more real. The kings of this earth cannot give perfect life. They can't give protection. Giving peace. Or they can and do speak strong political language. And they promise a world of wealth. Yet the God of David, the God of Psalm 145, our God is King of all the earth, and his promises are far-reaching for a superb life. That are God's promises. All things, as we read in this psalm in Scripture, all things come from him. He indeed is the peak from which the waterfall of blessings flow. He is the fountain of all good. Even greater, he is the creator of all things. He made all things just in a split second, so to speak, by his powerful word. And he keeps all things running, cares for it. He is, so to speak, the divine artisan. He finishes off his plan. He finishes off his plan for the coming of his kingdom. does God, your God, is a God of pure good, of pure grace, of pure justice, pure love and mercy. David is deeply impressed by God's prominence, and so should we as God's children. Because of God's greatness, the poet burst out in cascading praise from the peak. I will extol you, my God and King. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. No one can comprehend God and his great works. Observe that David's psalm of praise is not merely a song of heartfelt thank yous to God. No, David's praise expresses great admiration for who God is. His glory is above the heavens. Yes, David admires for who God is, his glory and his splendid majesty. He extols his name. And God's majesty is then linked to his kingdom. David knows that his own kingdom, his own life, his own rule must serve the coming eternal kingdom of God. And so David is deeply stirred by God's majestic greatness. No one can fathom who God is. And so Psalm 145 just heaps up words of admiration. That's where we also need to start our praise. And yet, as one is not able to stop a 50-meter steep waterfall, no one can stem the flow of praise to God and the praise from God's people. That praise needs to continue to sound from God's people, sound as a cascading waterfall. With David, admiration flows into adoration. God's greatness and faithfulness moves him to devoted loyalty to his God. True as it may be that no one can fathom God's greatness, yet the majestic God is as close to David, as close to him as his dearest friend. It's wonderful. David has a personal knowledge of his majestic God, and that knowledge brings him to the passing on of God's great works. As you have understood, we have come to our second point, that ongoing praise of God. David says that one generation will praise God's works to another. Now, one could call that education praise. Godly parents, godly teachers, godly office bearers, godly congregation members, godly young people. They will and they need to tell of God's mighty acts. His mighty acts, especially to his children. Now, to which works and deeds of God would David refer to? Well, they are, of course, the works of creation, deliverance, and providence. Also, the many material blessings. Blessings like food and drink. But also think of the many spiritual blessings, like God's promises. From the time we were born, his promises, his grace and mercy that he provides every day again for all our needs, but especially also for our spiritual needs on the day of rest, on Sunday. In brief, the education praise is that in godly families and in faithful churches, God is worshipped by telling the children and the young people about God's goodness, his grace, and his mercy, about his fatherly love, and that constant care he gives to his people, including us. A congregation, and especially parents, take note, let your children honor, love, and thank you because you have coached and tutored your children in praising the God of heaven and earth. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs at home. And be cheerleaders for the children and the youth of the congregation. Think of this. What is now showing more our bond with the living God and praising Him, especially praising Him in our homes, so around the dinner table? What a great influence you will have organizing outings and camps and young people participating in youth meetings like the summit this week. Rejoice about it. That it comes from your great, your good and gracious God. One of God's wonders. And then in nature around you, there are plenty also of beautiful things and God's wonders. And let them make you worship God and God alone. And so, young people, children, don't decline, for example, your parents' suggestion for making a nature walk or something. Appreciate their willingness to commend and hand down God's praise to you as younger generation. That's actually what Scripture points at in Psalm 145. And since the 60th century of the Reformation, the reformers like Luther and Calvin stimulated the church to this cascading praise. That's why you have the Psalter hymnal and the Book of Praise. Well, open it frequently and sing your praises. And so, brothers and sisters, beloved ones, young and old, what are we actually living for? What are we living for? Yes. Giving praise to God gives meaning to our life. You know the answer to the question, what is the chief purpose of man? The answer is, it is to glorify God, to fully enjoy Him, thus excel in overflowing praise to our God and Maker. Such praise is and should be audible in the world around us. Alas, something else is also audible around us. And often it is loud. It's often deafening. It comes from radios in cars that have the windows rolled down. Or you can hear it on construction sites. There the workers swing their hammers on the blaring beats of popular songs and music. Now, for a moment, picture now David in our time, driving his car, would he have his MP3 player droning out the popular songs of today? Or would he have done his work with earphones on, listen to the modern worldly music? And for his feast and parties, would he have hired a rock band or a disc jockey to entertain people? To please, indeed, to please and entertain man? Don't think so. No way. Don't think that David, as a man after God's heart, was very active with the things of this world, while he would be passive in the things of the Lord. Not at all. David was visibly, actively, and audibly busy with giving praise to his exalted God. And like in Psalm 145, he praised his God. Again, I say, for his greatness, his grace, and his goodness. And he took the time to reflect on them. What would he do next? He would grab his harp, sing his heart out in cascading praise to God. Being surrounded by God's great works around him and in him, the great works in him himself too, that he as a child of God worshiped God with praise to him. Do so. Being surrounded by all those great deeds as David was, in your homes, in your kitchens, in your offices, at your study desk, worship, workshops, job sites, or on the beach, and in nature. Go and tell through praise about God's wonders. Always and everywhere rejoice about who God is to you, like it is stated in verse 8 and 9, where we read that there David confirmed that our holy and great God is King, is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. It's a theme throughout God's word. That theme rolls, as it were, it rolls through Scripture. That God lifts up when we fall and when we are cast down. He opens his hand and he pours out his goods upon us. A congregation, should God's people at a certain moment now say, well, that's enough. Now I decrease giving praise to God. Or worse, now I stop altogether. Think for a moment of this. Every day we send our prayers to God. We often say we constantly pray. Well, the same should be true in regard to our praise, constant praise. And take note, our last point is not the conclusion of our praise. It is rather the crescendo of cascading praise. Once again, at the end, David doesn't speak about abandoning praise. The last verse reads, my mouth will speak. The praise of the Lord will continue to speak the praise of the Lord. And then he turns to all people. He turns to us as well. Let all flesh praise his name, his holy name. No, not every now and then. Only on Sundays maybe. Only a few times a week. Now and then. But David says forever and ever. Moreover, let's not ignore that Psalm 145 is followed by other psalms of praise. With its, you could say, with its crescendo in Psalm 150. And that Psalm 150 also expresses that praise should be continuing. And that's why this afternoon we sing most of them, Psalms 105. 145, 46, 47. Psalm 150 should not be the end of our praise either. That one stimulates us even to praise God with ever increasing volume. That is precisely what crescendo means. Louder and louder, louder, more volume. Not deafening. It must be pleasing to God, to man. Because God doesn't stop giving his loving care to us. The very fact, the very evidence that he doesn't stop his loving care to us is that we are here together in his presence. He never stops that. God, as our highest good, promises that he won't shut off his fountain of good. Every day he speaks his powerful word. every day here, but also for the future. Imagine what our future will be. In the book of Revelation, we read about our glorious future. It is an everlasting future. And before his majestic throne, we will then continue to participate in giving cascading praise to him. Well, that makes our church services, this one included, that makes our church services, so to speak, and rehearsals for our eternal praise to our God and King in heaven. Yes, if one thing has become clear to us from God's word, it is this: praise to the Lord, to worship him for his greatness, grace and goodness, that is more important than anything else, beloved. Like prayer, praise too is our spiritual breath, so to speak. Our spiritual breath. Well, everyone knows when someone stops breathing, what happens? He or she dies. So, when you stop spiritual breathing, when you stop praying and praising God, you will die spiritually. It is our calling to invest great efforts in praise and worship. From your office bearers, parents, teachers, from each other, you may expect that they all, in the name and in the love to the God of heaven and earth, that take every effort to bring you to that cascading praise of Psalm 145. And for ages, it already flows from one generation to the other, to the next. Let's remember what David used to do. He would take his harp off the hook, giving God all his praise. And so would we live, so to speak, our harp on the hook? Would we leave our vocal cords unstrained? Please, no, exercise them. Do it, young and old. God loves to hear our praise. And the people around us need to hear the sound of ongoing flow of cascading praise that belongs to that theme also for the young people this week. Go and tell of God's greatness, his grace, and his goodness. And so we have seen this afternoon in the Psalm 145, like a huge waterfall, praise goes from one plateau to the next, from admiration to adoration, to education, to meditation, to proclamation, to exaltation, to celebration, and that's not even the end. It goes to preparation. Our praise should become increasing praise and preparation for our eternal celebration in heaven. May that flow of cascading praise be done in spirit and truth. And may you, young people who anticipate a joyful summit this week, be instructed by the various topics in relation to go and tell the world about the greatness, the grace, and the goodness of your loving Lord. So may all those topics, may they at the summit, may they flow together in a cascading praise to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To him be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us all pray to the Lord. our exalted Lord. Your greatness is unsearchable. And yet, Father, you have revealed who you are. As a loving God, you are gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. In your goodness, you provide for all our needs. O Lord, use our mouths that they will speak the praise of your glory, of your might. And use our service and worship so that all flesh may bless your holy name forever and ever. Amen.